Hello, everybody, and welcome to Weekly Manga Recap, January 13th, 2016. It's our fifth annual Manga Recap, I think, where we take a look back at the last year of the show and the times we had, the series we covered, and where the series we normally talk about were last year, which I have entirely forgotten, so this will be fun to talk about. Or that last one will. But Chris, how are you doing? You ready to look back on what we've accomplished?
There can't be a lot there to make me proud.
What are you talking about? We actually started this... Patreon. We got videos started. We had a big year last year.
Actually, it was
towards the end.
Admittedly, it was actually a very big year for Weekly Manga Recap. A lot of cool things happened. We got to have a lot of cool people on the show. Tekking 101, Annalisa was on the show a few times. We got, I think. Was it last year? No, it must have been the year before that. I think we had the Shonen Jump podcast call us out a few times. Call us out sounded bad. Shouted us out. Called us out to them being like, you assholes! You don't look like those guys in the picture there. I'm like, no, we are. We're both. I don't have the blue hat, but Nick's hair is not that spiky, but it's basically us. It was a big year. You were completely right on that, Nick.
Yeah, we had some guests on the show. I think more guests than we did the year before.
J.O., so, that's right. J.O. was on the show.
And Ticking and
Hawksfoot, yeah.
Times. Yeah. Jamie was on. So, yeah, quite a few people joined us. We didn't cover as many series as we normally do because we, you know, kind of dedicated our time to focusing on the stuff that we cover every single week. So that's going to make, I think, our selections for best and worst series a little bit interesting, because we had less than 20 to choose from. But we'll see how that goes.
I'm also wearing gloves, because it's very cold.
Oh, you're wearing touchscreen gloves,
it's very. I got them because they're running gloves, and I think they just happen to have the touchscreen on them.
Okay.
It doesn't seem to work very well with my phone. I'm trying to get biometrics in Future Fight, and they're not doing anything, so... I think I'm hosed. Oh, that's right. Blip also died last year, too.
Also a little bit important, but I think we're actually probably a bit better off.
We're on iTunes. That's a huge thing, too. We're now on iTunes. You can get them there.
I would rather be on iTunes and YouTube than just on Blip.
Yeah.
Nothing against Blip, but the podcast itself is probably in a better position.
There's just an anthropomorphic Blip video pair watching. Like, why, guys? Why?
Come on!
Don't kick a man while he's down!
Jeez!
Oh, gee willikers! It's like, oh.
You should, like, get something, like, manga-related, like, somehow designed on your gloves so you can do, like, an AJ Styles thing.
I get, like, a Weekly Manga Recap logo, and it's, like, an NFL football player when they catch it, and you can see the logo in their hands. I'm like, boom! And everyone looks like, oh, WMR, it's so talented. I'm like, no, it's just really fucking cold, and I came out for a run and just didn't feel like changing since then. I'm still wearing my Batman running shirt, and that says 5K. Nice. Yeah, it's all very interesting. I say these things to the thousands of people who are listening in podcast form later who are like, what are you talking about? I can't see your gloves.
Yeah, I've probably gotten a little bit too used to having video already.
I know, right?
All right. Well, I guess let's just run down what we did last year.
With our recommendations, yes.
Yeah, going through the recommended series that we covered. We started off with Real, the wheelchair basketball series by Takahiro Inoue, who is the creator of Slam Dunk, early contender for one of our best series of the year. We both really liked it, and it gave us many emotions, because it was sad and happy and sad and happy and sad.
What's his name? Nino... The Afro guy.
I think it was Nemaya, right?
Nemaya. So I knew it was something that began with an N. But his character just so many times feels like he's gotten everything together and things kind of just don't work out. You're like, oh, this is so brutal. It's compelling, but man, you just want one thing to work out for this guy with so much passion.
He's doing great. And then he failed again.
Yeah. Things still don't work out for him. Like, oh, man. So you're saying in the real world, the world doesn't just break its rules to cater to the heroes? Is that...
Apparently not, yeah.
Is this crushing reality coming into my manga now, too?
You mean that the guy's not going to just get to walk again because he really wants to?
Yeah, that doesn't... People don't just pop out of wheelchairs like Professor X or Reverse Flash?
His legs are going to grow back from that cancer, right?
Yeah, they just pick back up, don't they? I liked it. Very good one.
Then we moved on to lighter stuff with Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun, which was the... I guess you could call it a farce based around an eccentric shoujo manga artist who based all of his characters off of his real-life friends and all of their... It was a very much just a go for the last, no matter the situation kind of series that revolved around a very bizarre cast of characters that I think both took us both by surprise by how much we did enjoy it and thought it was funny.
It was good. I mean, like many comedy series, it kind of wore on me after a while, but of the comedies I think we've read, it's probably been my favorite, at least in terms of actually getting me to laugh consistently. So, to that regard, I enjoyed it greatly.
At one point I went back and listened to that, and I was like, oh man, that was actually a really funny series, because it was, you know, it was a lot of it was just like us naming some of our favorite jokes from the series. Like, just, you know, the way that the manga artist interacted with his editors and stuff. Then we got to Akame ga Kill, which was the first pretty negative review that we had done of the year. The action series built around people with special weapons and lots of death, but also a surprising amount of cheesecake.
And yeah. The perfect combination of gore and murder and shameless death, and then, like, kind of quasi-nudity.
A little bit of a harem series for some reason.
Yeah. It's a weird harem series where instead of slowly realizing he doesn't have feelings for the girls, the other viable options just get killed off.
It seems like a much more effective means of moving that whole plotline along, honestly. Yeah, so that was our first kind of negative one. Although, if I recall correctly, you were a bit more down on it than I was.
I also think you got further in than what I did, and I did, think that's where the series started to pick up a little bit.
So I had to tell you that, you know that one guy who was kind of sympathetic about the kid? Yeah, that kid gets raped by a clown.
Wait, why? Why would you do this?
Then we did M-Zero. The magical academy type of series that we both didn't really care for, and then when Infamous Planet did his visual edition of the show, he got really mad at us because we didn't like it.
He had to editorialize, coming out of nowhere, betraying his art.
I just have to let you guys know that this series is way better than Chris and Nick said it is.
That's not nearly cognitive. Oi, in it, oi, you gold smackers.
See,
no.
I was going to do it respectfully, because what it sounded like. I just thought it was so funny, because Infamous Planet's, you know, as they say, can't be bothered so much of the time. So it was actually really funny when he did care so much about that series. He was like, no, I'm taking control of this motherfucker.
Almost know that they're all crazy up in this.
Oh,
I must defend this beating a C-minus series.
It wasn't really that bad, if I recall. We had a bunch of problems with it, but it was really more just like, this wasn't very good, as opposed to, this is shit. We actually didn't have really too many this was shit manga this year. The biggest thing a lot of manga committed was just that they were forgettable.
Yeah, there's quite a few on here that I had to like stop and be like, do I have literally anything to say about this at this point?
We're going to have to, like, make sure, because we occasionally do say to people, yeah, you can send a series, you know, if you think that we're going to, you know, really hate it. And I think that we're going to have to rededicate ourselves to actually making sure that we pick a few of those this year, because I've got, like, one series that I, like, legit hated, I think, on my worst list.
Mm.
So. And then we did Terraform Mars, the Cockroaches on Mars series that had some interesting ideas for fights, but really not much else, because it was basically Gantz in space, really. And, yeah. Then we did Appleseed,
Had a robot in
Spirit
it.
Circle.
There was a robot in that one, I think.
There was a robot. There was a robot who had a quasi-romantic relationship with the main heroine. And it was sort of post-apocalyptic, but not really. I don't know.
This is one of those ones I had to like stop and think. I was like, what do I remember about this series? I do remember a robot, like a robot detective, which is pretty cool. And then, ah, oh, shit. That was it for like a few series on this. I was like, ah, damn it.
Is that the one with the talking bear? No, that's the other sci-fi series that I've forgotten.
Yeah.
We did Spirit Circle, about the series about reincarnation by the author of Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, which we both really liked, although we did happen to take the recommendation at a point right before the series seemed to be getting into its climax, which was unfortunate timing, but we both enjoyed it nonetheless. Then we took a certain scientific railgun and proceeded to land right in the middle of... I swear, I don't think anyone was happy with that, because it was, you know, we didn't really bash the hell out of it. We were just kind of like, it's not that good. I don't know.
Yeah, it was okay. It certainly wasn't a bad series. It was just afterwards people were like, well, the first part, whatever a certain scientific index or whatever I think it is. Certain magical index.
And you shouldn't have recommended Railgun. You should have waited till we did Index.
They're like, well, that one's better.
It's your fault. We didn't know.
I still like Railgun. I still think it's decent. I'm not blown away by it. So who knows?
Then we did Onani Master Kurosawa, which was about a guy jacking off in school and totally, absolutely nothing else. That was all there was to it. Just like, you know, 20 straight chapters of pages filled with just him beating his meat.
Yeah. It's just him reading chapters of Food Wars and jerking off. And every time you look at the climax, you're like, there's no chicks on this page. He's just jerking off to food. Ew, what is this?
Well, you know, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a foodie. But like, the dirty kind of foodie. Like, oh.
I'm a foodophile.
I'm sure there is a name for people who are sexually attracted to food, and I don't want to look it up because I don't want it in my Google history.
There are, like, all sorts of things. Like, you know, because there's the thing where people, like, eat sushi off of naked women and stuff. So there is definitely a connection between food and sexuality. So.
I've kind of gotten that. I don't understand the notion. I mean, I was about to say I might be just making this fetish up, and then I'm like, there's no way. Everything is a fetish out there. But someone just being purely sexually attracted to food, I don't know.
Just food, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to fuck the shit out of that sundae.
We did a Taiyo no Ye, which was the shoujo series about a girl who kind of sought out... had to sort of seek out shelter from her own family with a childhood friend, which ended up being a romance plot. And for a traditional romance series, I think that we both got really into it. It was one of the better shoujo series I think we've covered. So then we did Biomega, which had a bear in it.
Talking bear.
Russian talking bear.
There were panels that I believe transitioned into one another.
Yeah.
Chapter breaks that I believe then ushered us into the next portion of the story.
Pretty much, yeah. Then we had Hawkfoot on as we talked about Shaman King, which was a pretty good discussion in which we said, oh, well, this part's a good, and God, this is also bad.
it's a mixed bag with Shaman King. It was.
We then covered Cross Game, which led to me going on a long rant about the author and how all of his series have been the same for the last 30 years.
What is Cross Game again? This is the one I had to like stop. I'd be like, it's the baseball, right?
The baseball romance okay. Series, yeah.
Like the first like 7 times I came across that and looking over like the series I read, I was like, is that the other lacrosse manga? Because I was thinking of Crossmange, and I knew there was another one, and I was like, we did that one long ago, didn't we? I was thinking of Bagata Way, and it took me, like, 4 times before I was like, oh, right, a baseball series. Good God.
Because you got because he started associated with Cross Magic. It's like, well, there was another lacrosse series.
Yeah, right? I know we did one. Well, I couldn't think of what Cross Game was. I was like, what was that?
Then we covered Kurohime, which was about the Bullet Witch and had lots of alternate dimensions or alternate versions of characters, and it was confusing and weird, and I didn't think very intriguing.
No.
And then we covered Monster as the first of two series we did for Halloween month, and we had a very long discussion about Monster and how much we loved the fuck out of it. I don't think we should talk too much more about that because we spent so long talking about
it. I was going to say, I feel like it had to have been one of the longest episodes, or at least one of the longest recaps, or recommendation recaps, I guess, because I feel like we talked about that one for probably over an hour.
It was definitely over an hour. And then we covered Parasite, which, so you had read Monster before and I hadn't, and I had read Parasite before and you hadn't. And Parasite, we both had significant problems with, and I think that you came away from it liking it more than I did, because just like I kind of had bitter memories, and then rereading it kind of confirmed the nostalgia glasses being taken away. I'm sure very bitter when I talked about that series.
I think there's a lot of good to Parasite. There's some rough spots to it, but I think it provoked some interesting ideas at points.
Then we had Annalisa on to talk about Siren.
I somehow
skipped over the next one. We had Jezu Otaku to talk about Great Teacher Onizuka with us. And that was a pretty positive episode as well, although she was way more positive on it than we were, but we always said that we did like it quite a bit.
Yeah, it was also one of her favorite series, too, so... Something that she was going to come into liking a whole lot.
And then we had Annalisa on for Siren. And that was similar to when James Otaku was on, because she was way more positive on the series than we were. But I think that we're a little bit more, slightly more middle of the road with Siren than we were for Onizuka, because we were like, oh, I did really like this. And then it kind of started fading a little bit in the middle because all these characters just kind of come out of nowhere and all these characters I liked go away and so on and so forth. And it has, like, the closest I think we've ever gotten to a Chad in another series that we've covered. It's like, God damn it, he's got these awesome dragon powers! And he just goes away.
He just gets, like, knocked into the sky and then shows up at the end.
God damn it! Curse you, cancellation! And then finally we had Green Blood, the pseudo-Western set in post-Civil War America. It had some cool ideas, but I think that we kind of agreed, like, there are some significant problems with this story in terms of how it's structured and stuff. And like I said, that's kind of just the theme of this year, is that we do have some really good series, but all of the bad ones, it's just kind of like, well, there were some good parts to it, but these other bad parts kind of ruin it, so it's kind of like not very good. We have very few actually bad manga, I think, that we covered this year.
We had a lot of good ones, yeah. So to that degree, I think our top lists are, I don't know if they'll be varied, but I think we had a lot more to pick from when it comes to the series we enjoyed. So, I don't know, why don't we get the negative out of the way first? Let's, I guess, go with, if you were to say, like, your three least favorite recommendations we did this year, what would they be?
I have Kurohime as my number three. It kind of stands here as the representative of all of the just not very memorable series that we covered. Because I'm sure Green Blood is going to join this group, Appleseed, Biomega, the series that we covered were just like, God, I just don't remember very much of this, and I barely remember what they were about when we were actually talking about them, because they're just not very memorable. They're not bad, it's just, not good enough to be remembered, not bad enough to be remembered. And I hate having to put that on the worst list, but, I mean, don't have very many choices. Negatively speaking. That's my number three. It's probably the worst of the forgettable ones, but that's really it.
Oh, we're doing like a back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay. For my number three, then, basically the same reason that you do would be Biomega. It's a series that, at the end of it, I struggled to think of anything really that went on in the series. I know I joked about Cross Game, but at least I recognized that that maybe wasn't a series I had much of an interest in going in. But Cross Game, or not Cross Game, but Biomega, I really can't remember much about that series other than the fact it had a talking bear. If it didn't have that talking bear, I would have really struggled to think of anything memorable about that series. I guess there's like a scene where he like goes down a hole like on a Gatling, like on a rappelling line, and he just takes his motorcycle with him. That was kind of funny. But like outside of that, I just remember it being like a sci-fi series that had a really hard plot to follow, and I just don't remember much of what actually happened in that series. So that was my, I guess you'd call it third. I didn't actually rank mine, but that would probably be the third of the ones I have on here.
My second is A Certain Scientific Railgun. Not because it's actually bad, but because it was kind of really hyped up to us. And then when actually reading it, it was just not that great. So it was kind of more disappointing than, you know, the Kurahimes and the Appleseeds and the Biomegas and stuff, which were these things I had never really heard of outside of recommendations that we had gotten. So didn't come down very far. Railgun was probably actually better, you know, objectively speaking, than any of those series, but it was more disappointing, and so that's why I'm listing it as worst of them.
And again, in a very similar mindset, my second one is M-Zero. Again, not because it's objectively a bad series, but it's something that, going into it, so many people said, yeah, fuck you, Infamous Planet, I'm just gonna get ahead of that one. But so many people were so excited about that, and they're like, we can't wait for you to talk about it. And I remember reading it, and I was like, what do you like about this? Like, Infamous Love, oh, it's my favorite series, don't you know? I can't wait for you bloody chaps to talk about it, and being like, this series makes no sense. Why do they have magic powers? Why do they go to this school? And only magic only exists in, like, a mile circumference around this place. And then they wipe your memories at the end of it. Like, just so many weird problems.
Why does he have
it.
A secret? Why is there a protagonist keeps a secret plot in this?
I'm not saying it's a bad series, but I just remember reading it and being like, I do not really get why people love this one so much. And it was one of those ones that after I was done with it, I was just more questioning. I was like, oh, so many, like, weird, open questions I don't get about this.
I could explain all this.
Oh, well, listen to that. Is nonsense. I'll just start talking about football for 5 minutes and he'll tune out. Again, not a bad series, but it's just one that I went into it expecting to just be blown away, and I left it being like, I don't get it. I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it particularly, like, the action wasn't memorable or anything like that. I was just kind of meh on the whole thing. It was a fun episode to do, though. I remember having a lot of fun talking about it. So, to that degree, I think
it's
great.
How crazy weird it was, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, I tossed it over to you as you're mid-chewing. My bad.
That's okay.
That is quite rude of me.
I get the feeling that your worst is going to be Terraformars. I'm not sure.
What? You want me to just do my first then, or?
I'm going to leave that alone, because it's my pick for worst. And instead, I'm going to give it to Akame ga Kill, which I actually, if you recall, had a lot of good things to say about it. And I said, you know, there are a lot of parts of the series that I think are compromised by, you know, some of the worst elements in it. But I think really just more for the sake of making sure that it is listed on the worst list at all than anything else, it kind of has to be. When you have a series in which you have a group of villains whose entire thing is that they go into a place and they make sure that they have a different rapist for every single victim that they have there. They have one person who goes after women, one goes after men, and one who goes after children. And they actually get away with raping a whole bunch of people. And this is just to make them out as bad guys. Then
I forgot that they coordinated rape people in their squad. That's
it's like when you go to that extent, when you introduce a villain by having her cut off a girl's face so that she can have it carried around like, you know, modern Joker and be like, look, I made a mask. When you have your main character describe what she's doing while maiming a girl and have a very effective scene where she's doing nothing but describing it and then showing the body and taking away the impact of the description. Like, you've got some major problems in your series. You go for shock value. When your introduction into the nobles of this world are evil is... I just keep a warehouse full of corpses. Just because.
Yeah. My torture garage.
This series is trying so hard to be super edgy. And then it goes into cheesecake pseudo-harem series with the group of assassins who are supposed to also be morally ambiguous and gray. But
oh, they're the nicest fucking assassins in the world.
Like, wait, but they're super buddy-buddy family with each other for like, some reason.
It's just missing, like, the scene where a little girl walks up and gives them a flower and thanks them for all they do, and then presumably gets murdered immediately afterwards by a villain of some kind, like, on her way back home.
This is one of the most tone-deaf series that we have, that we came across this year. And so, while I do think that there's some parts of it that are really good, those bad parts of it do drag it down onto my fairly thin worst list. So that's why I'm putting this here. And, I mean, yeah, it's weird to say this, like, yeah, my worst series of the year is one that I actually was kind of okay on when we were talking about it. That's just how few options I've got to choose from.
So, spoilers, my worst series, Monster. Blow people away. I'm like, what a crap. No, it was Terraform Mars. And I want to preface this by saying I don't necessarily think Terraform Mars is a bad series or that people shouldn't enjoy it or anything like that. Terraform Mars was just a series that hits all of the things I don't enjoy about stories, especially at this point. I think maybe if I was 6 years younger reading Terraform Mars, it wouldn't have bothered me. But as it is now, I can't stand gratuitous, senseless death. I can't stand having my emotions tricked in very short intervals with no real narrative context to it. Just the violence and all that, just so senseless. It seemed like a very cruel, bleak series that I just did not care about reading. Essentially, it was like Shingeki no Kyojin, Attack on Titan, but without any of the good writing behind it that could at least carry me through all the bleakness and murder and
or the sense of hope.
Yeah. So again, I don't want to say if you like Terraform Mars, you're wrong for liking it or anything like that. I know Annalisa works on Terraform Mars, so I highly wish for its success. It's just a series that I personally cared absolutely none for, and that's ultimately all it comes down to.
The one moment in that series I'm thinking of is right at the beginning, where the main character looks like he's peeping on the girl's shower and he sees tits pressed up against it. He thinks that the girl is there and is aware that she's being spied on. Then the door opens and there's a cockroach that's got her like limbless naked corpse in hand. And it's just like, well, this is kind of what this series is, isn't it?
So many characters who are like, let me explain my bug power to you. Oh, the explanation's done. I'm dead. Oh, sweet.
Well, just slash your links up. Let me tell you about this awesome insect from the animal world.
I'm a water strider. I can shoot compressed air out of my body at a Mach 3, and oh, my head's been torn off. Goodbye, everybody! Alright.
So that series does get some props for me for having the mantis shrimp in it, though, so. So that was our worst list. Mm-hmm. We do have more selections, like you said, for our best list, so let's get into that. I'm going to start with Taiyo no Ie,
the
shoujo series. I just thought, I mean, it was a compelling story that got me legitimately emotionally invested in it. It did kind of evolve into typical love triangle shenanigans by the end of it, but the characters were all likable enough that I quite liked it. So, very enjoyable series it's nice to having, that little bit of variation in the stuff that we cover and like, too.
My number three was Siren. I think Siren has a lot of faults to it. It unfortunately has issues when you get to the end where things kind of have to get rushed and fall apart a little bit because of the cancellation or the incoming one. But I struggle to find very few other series that I think can match its it's intrigue at the start of it. It really hits. The first few volumes, I think, are some of the best first volumes I've read in a series before. I think some of the moments at it early on are fantastic. I think it carries a lot of that through the beginning. I'm one of those people that didn't really get bothered as much when the kids took over. I was more so just bothered by...
Fuck those kids.
I was more bothered by the fact that the other characters had to disappear for the sake of them coming in. But still...
Hey, the girl with the crush on the main character has big boobs. That's her character.
No, she's also Moe, Nick. Come on. But, no, I still like Siren. I think there's a lot of good to it. I think if you want to, check it out and pick up the first few volumes. I don't think you're really going to be disappointed by those. Maybe if you collect the whole series at the end, you're like, I wish it kind of ended on a better note. But I think the beginning is definitely worth the price and worth picking up.
All right. I've got my list of best, and I'm trying to not step on your toes with it.
I feel like we're going to cross over in our list here, because I think the best series, for the most part, were ones we kind of shared, so don't worry about that.
Alright. My number two series is going to be Real Wheelchair Basketball. We kind of called it at the beginning that it was like it's going to take something special for three series to knock this off of our top list, because it was just that compelling. It's hard to actually see any real flaws in the story other than the fact that the release schedule is so terrible. Mm-hmm. We've got like these three different protagonists, all with different but compelling stories, very different from each other, because you've got the guy who's freshly disabled and is trying to recover from the mental trauma of that. We've got the guy who has been disabled for a long time, but he is at the point where he is this amazing wheelchair basketball player, and he has a more traditional sports series. And then you've got just this perpetual underdog loser who is just trying to get his life back on track. And all three of them are great characters to follow and give you very different emotional reactions. So just an incredible series that you get invested in and you can't put down. So
yeah, Real would be my number two as well. As you said, it was a great series, ton of just great characters in it, so many different versions. The I forget his name. I feel like it was like Tanomiya or something like that. But the freshly injured kid is almost kind of a refreshing in a way, because he's a dickhead throughout the start of the series. He's angry and bitter about what this accident's done from him, or done to him. He was already kind of a shitty person at the beginning, so he's kind of a slow burn character that you get to kind of enjoy seeing him eventually become humbled and start to learn about how he's going to have to live with this injury, and his mindset about things changes. And then you follow the Afro guy and kind of see his rise and fall, about him kind of trying to accept where he is in life and where he's going to put all this passion, and him trying to live with the guilt of what he's done to the people he's injured. And it's just a lot of really great stories being told there. The art's great. Just compelling stuff all around. And at the start of the year was a great way to kind of kick it off. And it's definitely worthy of your time if you want to check it out.
And my number one series is... It's Onani Master Kurosawa.
Wow.
I love that manga. I think that in the past I've demonstrated that although I turn up my nose at stupid fan service, if a series with a lot of, basis on sexuality is still really good, then I will say so.
You're not prude.
Right, I love the hell out of Food Wars, even though it's got, ridiculous over-the-top fan service in it. So just because the series is based around a guy masturbating in the girl's bathroom does not mean that Kurosawa is not a really good series. And like I said all through that episode, it captures the frustration and angst of being a teenager and then offers a completely realistic and true sense of hope at the end of it, of you're going to grow out of this and everything's going to be fine. And that message is delivered so compellingly, and the weirdness of the rogue masturbator is such a weird plot, I know, but it is treated so strangely realistically in terms of the fact that Kurosawa becomes a social outcast when he's found out. And, you know, the way that people treat each other in that series, there is, a great mix of humor and drama and just, a good feeling by the end of it. And it gave me, I think, the most genuine emotional reaction out of anything that we've read, even with Real right behind it. And I think that maybe it's just that I don't know too many people who have been in wheelchairs, and of course I've never, dealt with going through anything of that sort. But I know what it's like to be a frustrated, horny teenager.
Don't we all?
I know what it's like to, not have my feelings returned by the girl that I like. I think almost everyone knows something along those lines. And it handles those things very, very well. So I think it's just a bit more relatable than Real is. And they're, honestly, I think, the writing, honestly, I think is roughly on the same tier with each other.
Very good. That's a great choice. My choice was Monster for my favorite series of the year.
I kind of figured it would be.
Monster's great. I love Naoki Urasawa. I think he's the best writer in manga today. Maybe the best we've ever had. I think his stuff is fantastic. And it was a great series to kind of read and go through it again. I read that one after I originally read 20th Century Boys, and I was on such a high from 20th Century Boys that I think I didn't maybe pick up on everything about Monster the first time around. And rereading it again, I was like, man, this series is so great. And then we had like our hour and a half long conversation about it. It was just, I feel, partially is I love that series so much, and then partially is I think we had such a great discussion on it that I think it makes me just enjoy it all the much more. So it's a really good series. Quite a few really good ones we read this year that I could bring up here, but I wanted to throw Monster and give it its due reward. And I guess this is apparently the second time I've given my best series to an Urasawa series, so we'll read Pluto next year, I'll give it to that. Billy Bat in 2017. It's going to be like the whole the Marvel thing, where I'll just keep putting Urasawa series in there.
It's not so much the fact that you've done Urasawa series, it's the Urasawa series you've already read before.
Well, there's only one more. Pluto's the only one I've read all the way through, so.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that is our best and worst series that we covered this year. We had a good time. We had some cool people on the show, and we hope to get more this coming year. Yes. I hope to cover more good series and bad series in the coming year. But, we're starting off with Joe. I don't know, it's probably going to be weird because we're dedicating a lot of the next year to covering kind of the same series over and over. So we'll see how that works.
I think part of it, too, is even though we're doing, like, the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, kind of thing, I don't necessarily even think we'll get through all of JoJo in one year. I don't think we even can. I imagine it might be something that bleeds into other years, but we'll get through parts of it. But I think there's still plenty of opportunity to get stuff out there. Air Gear could also happen if the Patreon hits that goal. That'll be a review that's on there. So we'll have a negative review out if that happens, without a doubt.
That might be top of both our lists next year.
God, I might just exclude it from my list altogether at the end of the year. I'm like, it goes without saying!
It is number zero.
I'm excited for next year, or this year, I guess I'd say. I think we have a lot of very cool things on the horizon. I'm excited for what Jump's going to give us. I think this is one of the strongest years lineup of Jump we've got coming forward, and I'm super excited. I'm hopeful we'll get some really great guests and all the new opportunities and new things we can do with the show going forward. There are some cool things in the works, I'll tell you, people.
All right, so in addition to discussing various recommendations, we also, of course, covered our regular series every single week. Chris has a list prepared of where we were at the start of the year for each of the series that we cover. I have not done any research into this, so we're going to play a little game. We're going to see if Nick can guess where the series was 1 year ago.
All right, now, do you want me to start with those series? Because there were actually jump starts this year as well. I don't know where we want to kind of put those in there. Did you want me to kind of run through our jump starts real quick?
Whatever you want to do, go ahead.
Let me run through the jump starts. So the Jumpstart started the year before last. It started back in 2014, and for those of you who don't understand, it's basically series from Japan that aren't officially run yet in the English Jump that they bring over for kind of like a limited run, and then some of them they keep and you know, put on. It's where, essentially, like, World Trigger, that's how... Actually, no, World Trigger was before that. I guess, kind of Black Clover would be the most recent one. It started as a Jump Start, then became a full series in the magazine. So, last year, we had quite a few, and I'm going to mention the ones that are still in the magazine. So, this is in alphabetical order. Best Blue, which was the swimming manga. It was one I think both of us kind of enjoyed. It had some strong points to it, but unfortunately it is not running in the magazine anymore, which is a bit unfortunate. Buddy Strike, which is a series by Kaito Sensei, the author of Cross Manage. It's currently still running in Jump, but not for long. Yeah, it's running still in Jump because it only came out within the past few months. Last I saw, it didn't seem to be ranking very well, which is unfortunate. But I hope Kaito Sensei makes another series regardless and keeps making them because he's very talented. Then there was Cyborg Rogi, which I don't think either of us really have all that much to say about it. It was kind of just a robot.
Is that the guy with the weird hair?
He was a robot and he tried to beat up other robots, and there was a kid called Dog that he was like friends with.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad series. I don't particularly have anything negative to say about it. But unfortunately, it's not running in the magazine. Devilly Man, which was where there was the devil who basically was forced to work for like some 4-year-old evil super genius kid to basically make money, and he used the devil's power to basically oust people who were using their fortune or their clout for evil purposes. It was a comedy series to a certain extent with a little bit of like a Death Note kind of edge to it. I don't know. Remember if you particularly cared for it. I don't remember having too much of an affection for it.
I think I liked it more than you did.
Yeah, but I didn't hate it. It just, I didn't care for the kid in it, and that was such a crucial thing for me to have to enjoy to be able to get into that series. Unfortunately, again, though, that series is not running either. Kagami Gami, which is done by the mangaka from Siren. That was the one where it was like a supernatural sort of detective at the start, where you're like, oh, like Yusuke? Like, no, because she has no powers at all. There's just some fox guy who has the powers, and he's really boring, despite the fact she's so much more interesting. It was a series that had, there was 3 jump starts, you know, 3 chapters of a jump start, and the 3rd chapter was so compelling, you're like, wow, you really shouldn't have done that 2nd chapter where she cleans her apartment. It's been canceled, however, it should be noted that it did not have the kind of quick cancellation that a lot of new series tend to get. I do think it actually ran for a decent period of time, kind of a little bit closer to what like Cross Manage got, where it got to run in the magazine a couple more months than some of the other series that came out during that run of Jumpstart. So, to that regard, you know, congratulations to it, and I hope the manga keeps putting out stuff. Then we had Mononofu, which was the shogi manga with the kid who has a tunnel vision, essentially.
Something, and that's still running.
Yes, it is still running. It is a series that we both really enjoyed, especially that I think the first couple chapters were really compelling stuff. It's a series that I'm really hoping to see. I don't know if it would ever run the magazine, but if we could even just get released volumes of it, I think that'd be great. I'd love to see that series back there. I think it had a lot of potential, and I like the main character in it. And the side cast around him was great, too. I'd really love to see more of it. Then there was Straighten Up, which was the dance manga. The Dance Club manga, which, Nick,
I completely forgot that existed.
It's still running in Jump.
Really?
It's actually really popular in Jump, too.
What's it called? Oh God, what's
it's called Straighten Up Welcome to Something School. I can't remember what the name of the school they're at is, but it is still running in Jump.
Is it? I think you're wrong.
Unless it just got canceled recently. To my knowledge, though, last time I saw it, it's still doing up. Now, it may not be called Straighten Up in Japan. I believe it's called something else in Japan.
Oh, Sisujo Pinto, okay.
Yeah, it's called Straighten Up here, like Welcome to Something School or something like that. But yeah, it's still running in Japan. So, there you go. I don't remember disliking it so much. I just remember not being very into it. It's
for a series that's trying so hard to make dance seem cool, really is failing.
Well, yeah, and it's also, it feels like it's such a hard thing to do, because I feel like dance is a really hard thing to get into when you have no audible component with it, you know?
Right, because you've got the main pair of characters that are supposed to be each other's dance partners are just the same character twice. There's like, or at least on the surface, there was no, visible, compelling dynamic between them. Maybe as the series went along, we found out more about them, and their relationship got more interesting. But for the time being, it was just like, well, he's shy and she's shy, and they're like the same height and same design, except she's got slightly longer hair.
Yeah, but it's apparently doing well in Jump, and to that, congratulations to it. Then there was Summon the Summoner, which was basically Nogamu Neru, but slightly
with
meaner,
but
like with a dude who's not even kind of likable, but that's actually still running in Jump too. That one apparently found its audience and it's stuck in there. So congratulations to Summon the Summoner as well. That was one I did not care for though. That was one I just outright was like, I don't like this. But hey, it has its audience. And the last series is one that's not running anymore. It would be Ultra Battle Satellite, which was just the series where there are basically like street fights that they bet on. And I don't know if there was much of a premise beyond that. It was like street fights people bet on.
Well, I'm sure that they would have revealed more as the series went on, but it was just like, well, like if they
the last them. Chapter, they're like, oh, and this dude has squirrel guns, and turns out this girl's got the Kagami-gami of a reverse yin and yang. Anyways, it was going to be super cool. But yeah, this is where Jump starts the year. I think we had some very cool ones. Unfortunately, none of them are still running in our Jump. But I'd like to hold on hope that maybe Mononofu still...
Black Clover is.
Obviously. Black Clover is, but I'm in a series that started as a Jump start this year and continued on. Because Black Clover did. Black Clover... I guess it was... Yeah, actually, it was part of that group. That is right. I thought Black Clover was the end of last year, but it was. Yep. So, all right.
I only know that because we haven't hit 50 chapters for it yet.
So I'll run down my list then here of the manga 2015, and you let me know. I'll just skip over Black Clover since...
Right, because it started.
It started this year.
Well, let's see. I think that they were getting their grimoires.
I'm like, oh my god, Nick, you're psychic! You did it! Trophy for you, sir. Alright, Bleach. Where do you think Bleach was at the start of this year? Or 2015?
I was actually trying to think of this stuff ahead of time, and I actually told you after we did the Q&A episode last night, I was thinking it was the Master Masculine fight, and then I was like, no, wait, I'm pretty sure that was the beginning of the year before.
I had that exact moment, but with Fairy Tail, I was like, oh god, did this year start with Urza being sexually tortured by Kyoka? I was like, oh no, that was 2014 that started with that.
This is actually really tough because I do remember very vividly what happened up to a certain point, or back to a certain point, I guess, because the Brain in a Jar rant happened in, like, May. So that gives me a relatively good idea of where we were. But unfortunately, like, going beyond that, I'm trying to remember, like, actually the sequence of events that happened, and... honestly, I don't think anything's actually coming to me that goes further back from that. Like, I can't remember anything that happened right before that. So I'm going to take a guess and say it was Asnope against Rukia. But I think that that's going back too far, because that, I think, happened around the same time as Reggie versus Master Masculine.
I think you were going back a little too far. This year, 2015 rather, started off with Yuhabak killing Reo. That's literally the chapter. It's after his fight with Ichibe. He's beaten Ichibe. He finally arrives at the Soul King's Palace, and the chapter ends with him like saying, like, you die now, Reo, or whatever his line is, and thrusting his sword through him.
Okay, because I thought that... Well, because if the Gremmy fight happened this year...
I'm pretty sure the Gremmy fight was last year.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like there's actually quite a few things in there.
Huh. And that would make sense, because after that happened, then the group of female Vandenreich beat up Zaraki, and Ichigo showed up to attack to fight them off, and then Ichigo immediately turned around and went back to chase after Juhabak. So then if they had the Reo confrontation after that, then...
And then we started getting the side, the other members of Zero Squad kind of had small little fights. We saw, like, the Seamstress's power and, you know, the water guy did some things. They revealed some of the last few members of the Vandenreich. And then Ichibei had his fight with Juhabak, where we got to see his, like, turn everything to black power or whatever.
My memories of what happened this year are even shakier than I suspected, too. Because that means I only know going back as far as them fighting, like, the elites. Okay, Brain Ajar was May of last year. What happened in the last calendar year of Bleach?
That's what I had to, like, stop and think. It started with Tim killing Reo, so we know that this also included Ukitake's sacrifice or whatever it might be.
Right.
We know it would include Aizen being released.
Uh-huh.
We know it would include some of the smaller stuff, like the Soul Society guys reappearing, Grimmjow finally showing up, a couple fights, obviously, the... Perdita's fight just recently happened. And Lilibaro. And the thing to remember is that both of those fights took about 2 months apiece.
Right, but that still leaves, like, half the year where I don't remember anything that happened.
Yeah, I mean, Basby and the Hashawalt flashback was in there.
Okay, yeah, right. That took up another month or so. But, I mean, like, I remember stuff happened. I just don't remember the sequence in which it happened, basically.
Yeah. Looking back, it's tough to say nothing happened in Bleach this year, to a certain extent.
A lot happened.
Because stuff happened, just not a lot of it's particularly memorable, but at the same time, you also look at it and you're like, no, nothing happened in Bleach. Because we're still at the point where Juhabak has taken the control of Reo's powers, and everyone's fighting to try to stop him, and nothing's really progressed beyond that point. Okay. I guess the biggest thing would be saying that Ukitake sacrificed himself to become the new arm, but that didn't work. But they're still kind of all in the process of running towards him to stop him. So
okay, so a black mass descended on the world and Aizen destroyed it while sitting in his awesome throne prison chair. Then Najikoop. I added one more nod there. He tried to stop Aizen. And Basby killed him because he and Lil Toe and Giselle wanted to get revenge on Juhabak. And Yukio and Ruruka showed up to help transport Ichigo into the Soul King's palace, which has been transformed into the thing that... I forget what it's actually named, but Juhabak named it something new. Then they split up, for some reason. Grimmjow attacked Asken and immediately got poisoned and lost. Then Basby fought Hashwalt, and we had that flashback. So Basby died. And he was like, I hope that Giselle and Lotoa did better, and Juhabak killed them, of course. And then Pernita, we had the Pernita fight, we had the Lilibaro fight. Is that really all that happened?
I mean, there was also the the Fullbringers showing up, the smaller group of them that kind of transferred a couple people over.
Well, I said that. Yukio and Ruruka showed up. I said that.
Oh, okay. I may not know their individual names, that's why. Video Game Boy and Dollhouse Girl.
I'm going over this, and I'm just like, wow, this happened over a much shorter period of time than I thought it did. Yeah, wow. That was seriously 4 volumes. Okay.
Nick's like, wow, you blew my mind.
That is literally all that happened. I swear, anyone who's just like, well, no, stuff happens at Bleach, is just like, does it really?
I mean, this final arc, I don't think anyone at this point can say that Bleach isn't dragging its feet going through this final arc, because it's very clear that he's kind of just working things out very slowly, and there's no pressure on him to finish. They're just like, look, you know, you made a lot of money for us. We'll give, you know, respectfully let you bow out when you choose to, but like secretly in their board meetings, just like, yarr! When be Kubo finishing this? This be going on forever!
So then we had Fairy Tail, right?
Yes. Where will you think Fairy Tail was at the beginning of this year?
I'll bet there was fan service in it.
Maybe.
I think that we would have been in the middle of, I forget the group's name, but the group that Gray pretended to be allied with. Avatar. I think we were in the middle of that.
Actually, it was a little bit before that. This year began with Mardgear being killed and Xerath showing up.
And then they did the time skip.
Yeah, right. But like the chapter I saw was the start of the year was actually the one where Xerath showed up, basically like sealed Mardgear's body away and told them that. So in that way, this year has kind of been closed kind of nicely with Xerath coming back in the story, and now the final arc that we're involved in now is the main arc around Xerath. So Fairy Tail has had kind of a busy year. As you said, there was that entire time skip, and then there was the stuff with the Avatar Guild, and then there was rescuing Makarov for as much of a fucking issue as that was.
Oh my god, they're gonna kill Makarov.
Nope. I'll just teleport in and save him. Why didn't you do this before?
Something about limits of magic.
But yeah, I think Fairy Tail had an interesting year. I was actually thinking that Mardgear had survived into this year, but he's basically dead as soon as it starts, which bummed me out. I was like, oh, I wanted to give him my favorite character 2015.
No, I've enjoyed Fairy Tail for the most part this year. We've had a lot of really weird shit happen. But I think that it was actually a pretty good year for the series overall. A lot happened, and there were quite a few memorable moments.
And it's moving towards a conclusion, which I think is just kind of nice for those sorts of series. After that would be Food Wars.
Which we only started doing this year. Which started with the finals of the tournament, the Autumn Classic, between Hayama and Kurikiba and Soma. And it started with the announcement that they would be the three facing each other, and then we went through the process of Soma preparing and so on. So.
Well, actually, that was the very end of last year. I think the series must have started in like October or November of the year before, because the starting chapter of this year was Soma actually revealing his dish for the match, like showing it off and being like, oh, but there's a second step, boom, and the same thing he does every time he reveals a dish, like, hold on, there's a step two, a transformation. So it's there, and in the inverse of Bleach, I'm shocked that's how far back this was, because there's so much that happened in Food Wars this year. Just ignoring the Fall Classic, you then had Stagiaire Week with, like, two to three different levels.
Two different things, yeah, that Soma went through, because there was the bit with Shinomiya, and
the one with Arato.
And, yeah, that second one that focused on Arato and built her up. And then they came back, and Soma showed off his new skills.
And then there was the Moon Festival, or whatever, basically the street festival that they did, right, where he built the buns and had the fight with the other kid. We saw the Council of Ten for the first time, which then led into a zombies revelation, and then brought on the whole new Council of Ten and Central, and then finished off this year with Soma completing his Shogugeki against Aizan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, holy crap, it's a lot that happened in the span of just 1 year, because you then include the very end of the Fall Classic in that, and then the fallout to that, and all the small chapters in between that happened in there, and there's a lot. It was a very productive year for Food Wars, and I think an incredibly strong year for Food Wars as well. I think it was a really well-liked series, I think, by pretty much everybody who's on the show. I mean, both of us love it, and I think a lot of the audience does too. I see it get usually a lot of votes when it comes to the favorite of the week.
Then we did My Hero Academia.
Well, actually, there's two series to mention in between there. Gakkyo Hotai is one, because Gakkyo Hotai ran this year. It started...
That was also a jump start. Why didn't you name that before?
Well, I think it started in the year prior and then ended. Maybe not. It may have started in this one. But it didn't... Unfortunately, it's not still running in our magazine. It did get canceled, and no longer still running. But that was a series all of us enjoyed. We loved it so much, we actually
live... It started in July, Chris.
July, whatever. Look, I'm not on trial here. but that was one we enjoyed greatly, and we even live read the final chapters. We put in music. You know, we made a whole big fun thing of it when we knew it was ending, and I wish it was still around, because it was such a fun series to discuss and to read each week. But regardless of that, still very thankful to have it. Thought I'd give it a mention there. And I actually got a couple votes in the poll as well for what people thought was their favorite series of 2015. And then after that, I have to very briefly mention Hi-Fi Cluster, which was in the magazine this year for its final few chapters at the start of the year.
It did start at the beginning of the year. Okay, there it is.
So, Hi-Fi Cluster was briefly in Jump this year. It was a Jump start the year before, came back, only carried out of, I think, like the regular 18 chapters, and I think chapter 16 was where it started this year at. But I would throw a mention out there for Hi-Fi Cluster as well.
The one that we were just like, stuff happened.
Yeah, they have weird powers. That's at the very end, like, they just decide to be like, oh, and Alfred Nobel's in there. So you're like, wait, where does... They just throw these people in there, and this guy can control gravity. Like, well, maybe you should have led with these characters instead of the dude who's like, I don't know, I'm a samurai or something.
Yeah, I'll have fun with Gakuhōtei, though.
Yes.
It was kind of one of the inspirations for us doing Weekly Manga Recap Lives, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's actually getting a printed release sometime soon. So if you want to pick it up and own the copies, and I'm sure they'll do a digital release for it as well,
relive the adventures of secret genius Tento.
Tento tell you all about things you need know. Tento say he couldn't possibly done it. School closed at 4. Like, alright, I think we all got that. We could have grasped that's his alibi.
Oh, God.
Then, yes, My Hero Academia.
Which did start this year.
Yes, that did start this year. We started in the middle of the Calvary Bell. Yes.
In English Jump, at least. At the end of the school festival.
We were in the middle. We were in the cavalry fight. We jumped right to the middle of the cavalry fight. And then we got the one-on-one tournament, which strangely didn't get interrupted.
Right. I think we observed that. It's like, everything gets interrupted in this series except for the tournament arc.
It's the one thing the villains let ride all the way through.
Because we had essentially their stagiaire week get interrupted. We're having this training camp arc get interrupted. And then it's just like, the one-on-one tournament that always gets interrupted. Nope, goes off without a hitch.
Yeah.
Goes to its natural conclusion with one guy beating another guy and winning.
Yeah. But there are some great fights in that. It was some cool, you know, scenes to see.
A lot of character development in it.
Todoroki, we got to kind of really see his character. It was interesting for us to kind of getting reintroduced to the series right in the midst of that character kind of blowing up to being one of the main cast members too, and getting a lot of Bakugo development at the same time.
And Uraraka got a nice little development in her fight.
Deku finally learned to control his powers a little bit more.
And we also got a bit of focus on Tokiyami right before that. Although we kept on forgetting about him because the focus on him didn't really continue very much beyond that.
Yeah. It little bits here and there, but then after that, as you said, there was the Gran Torino, sort of like the sidekick arc or the mentoring arc, I can't remember what they would really call it, Stain involved in that, and then we kind of got the big reveal of All for One and his power, you know, his look, and he's this weird, sadistic motherfucker, and a little bit of All Might's backstory, and then we kind of led into where we are now with the training camp arc going on.
Before we got into the training camp, we had the whole series of practical tests that the students had.
That is right as well.
Which were some very good chapters. We got focus on Yayorozu, we got little moments to shine for Mineta, and Tsuyu and Tokuyami. And also continuing the development of the relationship between Bakugo and Deku. So, a lot of stuff happened in that arc, too. And then we got into the training camp right after a whole bunch of new villains have been introduced who are, of course, attacking the students during their training arc.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very eventful year for My Hero Academia. Like, roughly the same number of, like, event-heavy arcs as Food Wars in the time that we've been covering them both, which is shorter for My Hero Academia. So, yeah, lots happened.
And it's,
I think that's like the audience's series of the year.
Which yeah, based on the poll right now, that's the one they thought was the best. So, fair enough. Then I'll briefly mention Naruto and the Scarlet Spring. There was more to it, the Seventh Hokage and the Scarlet Spring or something like that. I don't know. We got a Naruto spinoff starring
you got the full title right there.
Sarada. And I think it was one that we both really enjoyed. It had a couple off points to it, but overall it was a really enjoyable story that kind of teased a larger, you know, or rather a future role in the Naruto world, and a good new character in Sarada, and gave us a little bit more context. Got to see Naruto as like a mature adult, and it was very good for the most part. Short-lived, but it was just meant to be a little mini-series. And now we are expecting a new Naruto series this year. There's going to be a Boruto series. It's not going to be drawn or written by Kishimoto, but I do know he's been planning to have involvement with it as kind of like an executive producer, or kind of like a source to go with for things on that. But it's also very likely we'll probably see a Kishimoto Sensei series this year as well. I know he's working on a new series as well, something sci-fi related, so it'll be interesting to see that happen.
Let's hope that he's gotten better at drawing noses than he did that baseball series.
I fucking love bench series. I don't know why noses were drawn that way. It's like everyone outlined their nose, basically. And then also I'll mention Nisekoi. I don't remember it was at the beginning of last year, and I didn't bother writing it down because who cares where it was at the end of the year was that Raku finally got his shit together.
I'm actually going to look that up right now. One Piece. They're in Dressrosa, obviously.
Oh, that's bullshit. I can't give you a point for that.
I know. Let's see here. I'm going to guess. I'll bet that this was too. That this is not going back far enough. I'm going to guess that we got like Zoro versus Pika. And I think that's not going back early enough.
It is a little bit further ahead, but you're in the same kind of realm. We started off this year in the Dressrosa fights. We were still kind of in the lower tier of them. The chapter we started the year off with was when Cavendish defeated Derringer. And then
there's no way I would have guessed that one.
After that, you got Bartolomeo fighting Pika, and then we had the Diamante versus Cryos fight, and then it was Zoro versus Pika after that. Couple other mid parts there, and then you had Luffy and his big fight against Doflamingo that went on for quite a while and had all these different stages, and then the Gear 4 revelation, and then him falling and needing everybody else to kind of defend him while he got himself back up, and you had Gats in the background doing like his big countdown like 10, 9, and the bird cages coming down and everybody and everyone else that's left is trying to push it back, and he finally finishes that fight, and we have all the fallout from that, all the world-building stuff, and then finally, we've now kind of gotten to where we are now, which is we're entering into a new arc, and we're getting some more info about Zoa. It was a really big year for One Piece. This was a huge year, honestly. Lots of big things happened, but, you know, it was a conclusion to a very long-running arc, because you could even consider, like, the Punk Hazard arc, in a way, to sort of just be the opening chapters of this arc itself. And this was a long thing in the running for One Piece. A character who has been kind of in the history of One Piece, the world of One Piece, of Doflamingo finally kind of getting his just desserts and that rivalry coming to a head. So it was a very big year for it, and now we're kind of moving on to something a little bit different.
All right. I found out where Nisekoi was.
Actually, wait. They were... I think I do remember where they were. They were in the...
I'm gonna guess.
They were in the... Oh, I can't... Like a historical play or something like
Holy
that.
Holy shit, you remembered it!
There was some kind of like reenactment or something like
that.
Yeah,
Tsugumi was basically got noticed, and so she played the part of a samurai, and somehow Raku ended up as like the maiden in distress during their play, and zaniness happened. So I guess you must have remembered from last year's recap or some shit.
Something like that, or when I went through, but yeah, some stuff did happen in Nisekoi, you know, we...
It was actually a pretty eventful year, because we actually seem to be moving towards a conclusion now, after... Mm-hmm. Year and a half of not.
Yeah, we finally got some things progressing. UA isn't going after him anymore. Marika is gone now.
That useless extraneous character. And then Marika, too.
And now we're basically down to two girls, and he realizes he has feelings for Chitoge, and she likes him. So it's a nice kind of place we're at now. And I think it might be to the point where I might start reading Nisekoi every week now, because it's like, oh, we can't just rely on seven girls like Raku. Which one does he like? Oh, he's so silly. He doesn't see it. He's dense. Then Toriko, Nick. Where do you think Toriko was at the beginning of this year? What do you think Toriko was at the end of this year, Nick? Like, I think in that flashback still?
Similar to how I was thinking of was it Master Masculine last year? This time I was like, was it Meteor Spice that they were at? Or was that last year?
Oh my god. If they're at Meteor Spice, it'd be like, holy shit, they flew through those other three ingredients. Our recap for Toriko this year, for the year recap, should be Toriko. So anyway, World Trigger Nick.
I think that they were somewhere in the midst of the Bambina fight, and then I don't remember how we got to this point.
Basically, you're spot on. I can give you a point for that. They were training with the pill bugs to learn monkey martial arts in preparation for their fight with Bambina. So you are basically on that spot area where they're preparing to fight Bambina. So you get a point, Nick. One. I'm not gonna lie, things look dire for you. But it was...
This is revenge for all those times I judged you during the bonus episode.
Yeah, when you shit all over my golf manga. They fought Bambina, had that long fight, went into the back channel, saved Komatsu... Eight pair, turned into women briefly. Then we moved on to another, which was going to be in this underground or underwater shell thing. And then
arc lasted way too fucking long.
It's weird because I look back and I'm like, that Bambina arc took a while, but I'm like, I guess it wasn't all that bad. I remember it being like some dry points to it, but God, if we could go back to like how the narrative at least was back then, I would have enjoyed it so much more because I almost missed it.
That was going on. Yeah, because it was, you know, our main, you know, superpower guys in Komatsu. You know, Komatsu's life was in danger, so there was a time crunch, and they knew exactly what they had to do, but then there were a few twists thrown here and there, and also we had a consistent antagonist that was the focus of it, which was Bambina, who was entertaining and interesting, because it was just this fun-loving guy who had no concept of his own strength. And it was a very simple idea to get behind. And then, you know, what happened in this entire stretch? Well, there's this whole plot where people's souls reincarnate so that they can continue preparing ingredients over a long period of time, so people are kind of enslaved, but kind of not. And the chefs had to team up and take on the chefs from the underwater world in a 5-on-5 battle that we only saw one battle of, and Yuta killed a guy, but then he didn't.
He's not dead anymore.
And then we cut away to look at what the other guys were up to, and then we came back, and suddenly they were all older. And then we went into a flashback for 3 fucking months to explain what we were doing during that.
And the entire time all that's going on, Toriko and all the other four kings have split up to go get the other ingredients, and then Midoriya came back, and he's trying to kill Yoei, and we find out Acacia is alive.
After it looks like they're going to actually clash and kill each other, and then we came back after the flashback was finally over, and it's like, so I'm going to try and kill you now.
Got rid of all that nonsense.
Oh god, and Toriko flat out said that the entire flashback was stupid and long.
It's like, it took so long. It was a tough year for Toriko. This was sadly the year I kind of really dropped my enthusiasm for it. There are a couple decent chapters here and there. Then looking back, maybe I probably should have been more positive on the Bambina arc than I was, but it was just a series that didn't entertain me in the same way it used to. It got just kind of not complicated, because the things exist in it are things they've brought up before or hinted at or things like that. But it was just, I don't know, it was just strange this year. Like, the way it all flowed just didn't seem to be very enjoyable. I don't know.
Then we had World Trigger.
I would be shocked if you get this one, Nick.
Was it when they defeated Inadora?
No. You went back really far. No, the year started off, they had just really begun their first match of the Rank Wars against Suwa Squad.
That's not too much, too far off then.
You're still in the invasion in yours.
What time between the invasion and the Rank Wars is there?
There was a lot between Inadora and that. There was like 8 chapters of Samu walking towards the door.
8 chapters. I was off 2 months.
And there was all the build-up of them setting up a team and explaining the Rank Wars. Oh.
2 months!
2 months, even! What are we... You're just going to throw away 2 months and it doesn't matter? What are you doing there? Pekakta. It's Pekakta. You're messing up the whole deal.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know if you became Jewish for a moment. That's where we started off with Suicide Squad. And basically, this was the year of the Rank Wars. Probably a good 80% of the chapters this year have involved either a Rank Wars match, or the Rank Wars explanation, or preparing for a Rank Wars match. There also wasn't the press conference, I guess it was last year too, which might have, I guess, changed things a little bit on that regard. World Trigger had a very interesting year. This was also a year of a lot of build-up too, because while we got the Rank Wars fights, we're still at a place where Osamu isn't strong enough. Chika is still learning whether or not she can shoot people. And Tamakoma 2 is still not A-rank. They still can't go on away missions. Now, everything's been progressively building towards the idea that those will change. You know, maybe they'll get a fourth member in, possibly Hyosei or someone else. Maybe Jin or someone like that. You know, Galapola's invading. And then we find out more about how Afkator exactly works and the politics of it all. So it is progressing forward, but this was a year, ultimately, of a lot of kind of slow burn as things kind of worked forward. It was also, unfortunately, a year where Ashihara's health kind of affected them pretty significantly, and we didn't get as many chapters as we might have normally gotten. But
I missed probably 3 updates, I think.
I feel like it was more than that, unfortunately. I feel like it was probably closer to 6 or so.
I think you're exaggerating. I think that you're letting your worry for his health affect your observation of what happened.
Are you calling me crazy, Nick?
A little bit. I think you're paranoid.
I feel like it was more. I feel like there was a few. Well, I might be mistaken.
Normally, you get 48 chapters in a year because there's 52 weeks in a year, but they get, you know, there's 4 off for holidays, normally speaking. So, let's see. I'm just going to look at the chapter counts and see how many we got.
Okay.
Go on.
Fair enough. I still like World Trigger a lot this year. I think it was an excellent series. I love Slow Burns. I love what they're doing with Osamu. I love the stuff we kind of got teasing Eki Tora and some of the side members. We've got Ninomiya, who's the best character in the series outside of Osamu and Eki Tora. We got Kagiura, who a lot of people really enjoy. I think he's great. Some more side effects were kind of shown off. A lot of really cool stuff happened this year. And I teased the Ninomiya thing just to anger Annalisa. But a lot of really good stuff happened. But I think it isn't the same as last year where I made it my number one series. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen this year, though, if only because there weren't as many huge big points to the series as there were last year. I think it's a series that is building itself up to be manga of 2016. Maybe not necessarily this year.
So I have the right chapter site. Okay, I think that you might actually be correct about the number of chapters.
So I'm not crazy?
Well,
I'm not cray cray?
Not saying that.
Woo-hoo!
What the fuck is that? What are you doing?
My crazy dance.
Okay. Let me see here. How many chapters did this go up? 154 to 46. Yeah, okay.
So,
well, I'm observing, like, it's like the other chapters have gotten like 46 or so more. 308. Yeah, okay. Yeah, some of the other chapters are in, like, the mid-40s. in terms of how many more chapters we've gotten this year, and World Trigger is like 39. So
okay.
So he did have a bit of time, was given a bit of time off multiple times.
So. Yeah. So hopefully next year his health improves and we don't have as many breaks from him. If he does, though, I'm perfectly fine with it. I want Ashihara to be healthy and to live a healthy, happy life as long as he can. So, but I'm excited for what World Trigger has looming in the future. So that was Jump. That was Jump 2015. I think, by and large...
And Fairy Tail.
Yes, and Fairy Tail. But by and large, I think it was very good. I think the series we got last year were great. Food Wars was incredibly powerful. My Hero Academia came in and immediately was a great introduction. Gakuhōta, even though it didn't last the entire year, I thought was a great series to have a Jump. And Black Clover, even though we didn't care for it early on, it seems to be slowly starting to make a more enjoyable turnaround. So I feel like Jump, as it is right now, based on the start of this year from last year, it has one of its strongest lineups since we started kind of doing weekly manga recap. And I'm very excited to see where we go next year and where these series are. You know, where does our enjoyment change? Like, next year we like Black Clover was the series of the year, Nick! Asta killed all those dudes.
He's so great. Look at his perfectly muscular
chest. He got four swords now, Nick. He has one on his shoe.
And the third one, well, you know.
Yeah, come on.
It's up his butt.
Where else would it be? He fights with his heart.
Here, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, it's going to be Food Wars. We had some... I mean, you almost can't go wrong, really, with the stuff we had this year. I mean, okay, you can go wrong if you went for Bleach, or Toriko.
I mean, look, if those are your favorite series, then, you know, it's okay. Though I will note, based on our audience poll, no one voted for Bleach, Toriko,
no
or Tail.
No one voted for Black Clover, no one voted for Bleach, no one voted for Toriko, no one voted for Fairy Tail. And if it were going to be a year when you would vote for Fairy Tail, it would probably be this year, because it did have a pretty good year. We did have some sympathy votes for Gakuhōta, and also a few for Naruto the Scarlet Springs, which were both very good, although short series. But then all the others that we had. Oh, someone voted for Bleach, just to fuck with us just now.
Didn't count.
No, too late. We already made the announcement.
Yeah. No, I'm not here. Academia won. Sorry, guys.
But between the other four, you know, and even Nisekoi, which you didn't include on the series, Nisekoi finished strong, but then Food Wars, My Hero Academia, One Piece, and World Trigger were all very good this year in different ways. My Hero Academia, I see, has won the poll fairly handily. And, it, you know, with good reason. It was a very strong opening year in the American version of Jump. There's really very few chapters you can point to at all and be like, I didn't really like this one. It didn't really do much for me. Food Wars, I don't think it had any chapter really like that. Because even if it was kind of a slow chapter, it would have been in between two chapters that it was flowing between. You know, it was just kind of a slightly slow point to build to the next one that was bigger. And, I mean, all the stuff that happened, like, you know, we touched on already, the you know, conclusion to the Autumn Festival, the stagiaire week, month.
The stagiaire week that just was 3 weeks in a row.
Right. And we didn't see the second half of it, I guess. Then Soma's big return, the, you know, tease of a build of a lot of the characters at the Polar Dorm, like, you know, smoky food dude who is totally going to be important, it looks like, eventually. you know, the stuff with Erina and the dynamic with her father. Her father taking over the school after the big street cooking festival, and then finally, you know, all the fallout from Azami taking over into the battle with Aizon and the conclusion of the battle with Aizon. That entire long stretch has been an incredible ride, and so that's why it's my series of the year.
absolutely can agree with that. I think Food Wars had an incredible year. Very few parts of it that I think were anything less than just, you know, super entertained. And having now caught up on the series, I see it's strong all the way through. But that said, my series of the year was One Piece, solely because the scale of what One Piece did with that arc of Doflamingo is something monumental. And I don't want to take anything away from Food Wars at a phenomenal year, but to me this was a huge moment in One Piece where we finally got a conclusion to one of the most long-running storylines and rivalries in One Piece, with Doflamingo finally going down. This is a character who's been in the series for basically a decade, you know, and it kind of always showing himself to be some kind of antagonist, and we really kind of saw him as the next big opponent, you know, basically 3 years ago when we were in Punk Hazard and doing things there. And, you know, the Dressrosa arc was basically like a 2-year-long arc as it was, and a lot of different factors going into it, and Tantada and all that stuff. It's been a lot of factors that came together, and we weren't doing our chapter of the week part during most of that, but I feel if we had, it would have been like 3 to 6 weeks in a row where I've just been like, well, One Piece had it this week, because I feel like that entire conclusion of that fight between Doflamingo and Luffy was just so exciting. Even Gear 4 might look goofy, but it still seemed cool, and there's that big buildup of Luffy being down the ground, everyone trying to protect him, and doing this countdown to get everyone excited, and, you know, the final action of him beating Doflamingo, and, like, the cool speeches that happened afterwards, and Fujitora letting them go, and all these things just feeling huge, and also just feeling like it's moving forward to an end. You know, this isn't like fighting Lucci. This wasn't some opponent that was created in the midst of this arc. Like, this was one of the warlords. This was someone who is huge within the world, and this is someone who can't really just be replaced necessarily. So, for me, I think it was just really enjoyable, and it was also just great to be like, oh, this is a series that is progressing forward. Even if Oda may do this series for another 10 years or something like that, it still just felt like a huge moment. I think I give the series my series of the year for that reason.
Okay. That's really everything, I guess.
I feel like we should make more awards, though, next year. Maybe, like, a character of the year, like, best villain. Like, make it like the Oscars. Like, we'll both wear tuxedos, but, like, shirts, like, tuxedo shirts, because I don't think I just want to rent tuxedos. Or maybe I'll just wear a bow tie, or, like, a tie that I don't bother tying all the way around, or something like that. But we'll do, like...
If you brought this up earlier, I would have had stuff prepared.
No, I mean, we're in the process. Like, we'll do it next year, you know?
Villain of the Year was a zombie. I think so.
But I mean, like, coming up with other topics too, like, sexiest fan service scene, or the wacky shit like that, like a couple
of people. Well, Fairy Tale has about 50 entries this year, yeah. But it lost again.
Food Wars had one shot that was actually pretty hot. She was eating an ice cream cone in her underwear, and it was, just mwah. Well, we'll come up with some interest, maybe like best art of the year. I don't know, so some interesting categories like that for our review of 2016.
If you have ideas for an awards category for us to do, be sure to start suggesting them either in email or the chat room or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you have any ideas over the course of the next year, we'll start tabbing them.
Yeah,
but we should actually probably get these categories in mind probably as soon as possible, so we can start keeping logs of our nominees.
Yeah. Angriest rage moment, that would be a good one too. This is something I just want to throw out there really quickly though. If anyone out there who's listening, either in the chat room or if you listen to this afterwards, if you are well versed at all with cosplay at all, shoot an email over to Weekly Manga Recap. I may need your help with something. I can't explain exactly right here. I don't want to get into it, but if you are versed at all on that, shoot an email over weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to the show. You can listen to all of our old... pardon me. I don't know what the fuck happened there. Anyway. you can listen to us or watch us, whatever, on hitbox.tv/RealOT every Wednesday at about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, although sometimes we do need to change it up, so be sure to follow us on Twitter to stay updated. He's at RealOT, I'm at YRollerOfTime. There's also the @WMRPodcast official Twitter account, where Chris talks about manga and also provides updates and stuff. You can also check out our past episodes on weeklymangarecap.podbean.com. Be sure to also subscribe to us on iTunes, and make sure to leave a comment or rating.
Yes, we have actually two to bring up here. One from Gunblade007, or I guess Gunblade007. I'm a lumberjack. Very fun. I've been following the series from back when it was on that guy with the glasses.com. Actually, I must have read this one last week. Or last time. By the way, I read the series back when it was on that guy with the glasses.com. Thank you very much, Gunblade007. And also one here from NNG9, who says, best weekly manga-centric podcast. I've been watching WMR since the very first episode. I look forward to it every week. The genuine excitement, bafflement the hosts Nick and Chris have for the chapters they discuss makes it an enjoyable watch, whether it's a live show or listening to recording later. So thank you very much, both of you.
And of course, remember, if you are watching this episode, then you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Yes. Also, be sure to send us criticism, questions, and suggestions for manga for us to read. Send them to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com. And remember, you can suggest bad series, and make sure to point out if they're bad series, because that may actually get us to cover them if you point out that they are bad. Special thanks go out to all of our Patreon supporters. Your support allows us to create all sorts of bonus content for you guys to enjoy, like our Q&A episode, which we just did. The bonus episodes that we're planning on doing Weekly Manga Recap lives for this month for our bonus champion level subscribers. And also we're doing movie streams as well. Or we're not streaming movies, I should point that out. We are doing live commentary while everyone syncs up the movies so that people can do it legally.
Yes. And then we distribute the commentaries afterwards via Patreon. For free, everybody. You don't even have to be a person signed up to Patreon to get it. So if you can't see them live, you can still download it and then sync it up with the movie yourself afterwards. Also, I want to give special thanks to our new patrons, Eric Gorski, Ross Bo Harris, Aaron Forsage, and Alexander Walk. Thank you, all of you, for supporting us. It is highly appreciated, and I hope everybody looks forward to some very cool things coming up for Weekly Manga Recap in this next year.
They must have heard about the Christmas Leechmas episode.
Yeah. I can't recommend that episode enough. If you're a fan of Weekly Manga Recap, you absolutely owe it to yourself to listen to that pod. It's great.
Special thanks finally go out to Steve Mann, our tile cars. You can check out his work at numerous different locations. There's neuroticfanboy.deviantart.com, there's idropboobs.tumblr.com, there's patreon.com/Steveman. Yeah, Steveman has his own Patreon as well. Also, special thanks go out to Infamous Planet, as well as Felix Dark, who have created visual additions to our podcast. Infamous Planet is just a general, very helpful friend of the show, despite the fact that
he didn't even say the Infamous Planet this time.
I didn't even say it this time. I mean, despite the fact that he is an overly sensitive, limey brat. I know, but it's tradition. I didn't even say it. Thank you, everyone. Next week, we should have the first of our JoJo podcasts covering Phantom Blood.
With Jonathan and the original Dio.
Right, so that should actually probably not be too lengthy a discussion, because we're just covering a relatively short portion of the series, only a few volumes long. But it's the start of something bigger, basically, as we begin the process to induct me into JoJo fandom, yes. I guess.
As I slowly turn Nick into a JoBro.
That's disgusting.
Hey!
That sounds like a G.I. Joe fandom.
No, fuck them. They don't get to have that. Me and Drew Oreo came up with that.
No.
Oh, by the way, I should mention this while we're still recording. Infamous Planet is doing a visual edition of that JoJo's episode I did way back in the day with Justin. It's going to be coming out, I believe, on the 23rd. So not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, I believe it comes out. I highly recommend you check it out. It's one of my favorite episodes to go back and listen to. It's a great one. I highly applaud him for his work. I know it couldn't have been easy to essentially... It was me and Justin going through talking about essentially like 3 decades almost worth of JoJo, and then he had to go through and find, you know, shots of everything like that. So I want to give him his due plug on that, and hope if you're interested, or if you never listened to that episode, definitely check it out, because it's worth the listen.
All right. And that's going to do it, everyone. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Yes. We need a wacky thing to go out on.
I guess. What, are you looking for... Do you have a wacky thing prepared?
What do I have next to me?
Well, because you looked over to your other monitor, so I thought you were going to, like...
No, I had to pull up my XSplit, or my OBS, to close this when we were done. You know, like...
Oh, no, like, we're pulling back the curtain.
No, like, hilarious moment comes in, like, I don't know, I'm like, Nick, what's the unlikable person? You're like, N-word. And then I'm like, boom, credits! I have to be able to click stop recording at just the right time.
No, I will not provide you a chance to explain yourself.